Welcome to the I Love Recruiting Podcast with your host, Adam Roach.
Welcome back, everybody, to the I Love Recruiting Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Roach, and today I have a guest that you guys are going to want to sit down, grab your pen, grab your paper, grab your iPad little pen, and take a shitload of notes, because my man, George Bryant, is about to bring you a ton of value in the marketing space and actually everything that he does. So before I let him start speaking, let me give you a quick little background on how I met George. So I belong to this group called Revenue with two V's. And George was one of the first presenters that presented to us in this group, this mastermind group. And I was blown away. And you know me, I go right into the hard close and, hey man, we got to have a conversation. And the next thing you know, George and I were having a conversation. And now here we are about 2 months later on the I Love Recruiting Podcast. So George Bryant, welcome to the I Love Recruiting Podcast, my man.
Super stoked to have you. Good morning, cup of coffee, and let's get this thing going, man. I'm stoked.
Let's get it going, man. So we were just talking about how, from a real estate perspective, your company, you help entrepreneurs continue to scale their business. Tell us about the story of the individual who's now been, I think you said, in the business of real estate for 18 months.
18 months,
and she's number one now in her in her region, in her area.
Yeah. It's actually kind of nuts. So like I say, you know, you pick your label, right? You could be an entrepreneur, you could be a realtor, you could be a consultant. My job is to help you ethically scale your business by teaching the relationships, beat algorithms. And man, if there's no better reminder than the current state of the world that all we have is the value of relationships. But you know, my wife's background, she's a broker, she's a real estate investor, real estate flipper. So I have a lot of insight into this world. And I remember my wife, when I met her, she always told me that everything was the same. She's like, realtors are set up to fail. People in real estate are set up to fail. Like, there's an entire info market designed because you get your real estate license, you get your brokerage, you do whatever you want. You're not really told how to build the business. And I was like, oh man, I was like, but real estate's not about business. Real estate's about people, right? Like at the end of the day, it's about people. And she's like, yeah. And so one of our friends locally had worked in a funding department, like in a mortgage department funding, and she just wanted to go out on her own. And so I was like, oh my God, I got to take her under my wing as like a case study. Mm-hmm. And what naturally she already had is she cared about people, right? Like you'd watch her. She's like, when a home would close, it wasn't like, oh, your home closed. Like she would have a gift basket waiting in the house with a handwritten letter, right? She just naturally knew that people would be the way. And so, yeah, 18 months ago, she got her license and I was like, I'm going to help you. We sat down, kind of planned out a whole thing, how to nurture relationships, how to do touch points. And her first year of real estate, I think she netted almost $1 million in her first year. And like, I'm not in a big market. She wasn't selling expensive homes. Like we're talking medium home price, 400 to 700. And so, you know, knowing percentages, she was moving volume and we had to like hire an assistant. And basically she went from nobody knew who Suti is to her entire own realtor group now to literally about to probably become number one in the state of California sometime in the next year. And I like looked at my, I literally looked at my wife this morning because she texted us this morning and I was like, okay, so Barbara Corcoran's going to be living in her shadow sometime in the next like 24 months or something. Like this is going to be the queen. And, you know, I say this because I think the one thing that I see, Adam, all the time is that people think that it takes a long time or that it has to be hard or that it has to be difficult or even that it has to look a certain way. But really, you know, success is guaranteed when you have intentionality, you know, discipline and depth. And those are the kind of like the ways that I see it. And so it wasn't that we did anything crazy. It wasn't that, you know, like we did these strategies and tactics. It's that we focused all of our time and energy on the things that actually move the needle, on the people that actually make decisions. And I don't know if anybody realizes this, but nobody wants to sign fucking paperwork to close a home. Nobody. What they want to do is they want to feel safe. They want to feel secure. They want to know that they have somebody in their corner. When they have a fear, they know where to send it. And when you really lean in and you remove the transaction, we just have humans, right? And I think that that's the takeaway for every industry here is that we live in a world where it's perpetuated transactions, right? Like we can be transactional. You can do this and you can automate this and you can do it. But I don't think many people realize how many bridges they're burning and how much permanent damage they're doing because we're like, oh yeah, you know, run that ad to 1,000 people so two of them come in. And I was like, well, you just burned 998 bridges. Why don't you just run the ad to the two people and help the two people and then capitalize on the fact that they're going to go sell 200 more? And like, I think it's just a really important distinction for everybody when we think about business, when we think about marketing, when we think about life. Like on the other side of everything that we create, on the other side of every ad, every video, every phone call is a human, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister. And one of the ways that I look at marketing, I literally ask myself this question. If somebody marketed to my family this way, would I invite them over for dinner or would I punch them in the face? And it's really that simple for me. And so when I'm creating marketing, when I'm, you know, consulting companies, when I'm building my own marketing campaigns, I ask myself, like, is on the other side of this, is Adam going to want to kick me in the shins or is he going to want to invite me over for dinner? And as silly as it sounds, it's such an easy way to look at it. Like, would my grandmother go through this? Meaning, does it make sense? And then I'm like, my favorite example, and this is tangible for everybody, when everybody thinks marketing is difficult, everybody all the time, like it's probably my number one, right? I don't know how to do digital marketing. I don't know how to do digital marketing. I see a wedding ring on their finger. I'm like, well, how do you do marriage? And I'm like, well, I listen and I communicate and they give me like this diatribe. And I'm like, okay, so tell me how you don't know how to do digital marketing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, right. But like, then you take that, right? And it's like, okay, cool. You have a business and you're like, okay, George, like I get this, but not really. And I want you to take your business or your idea and look at it through the lens of a brick and mortar business. Would you operate your business the same if you had customers walking through your door every day? Would you let them walk through your door, ask you a question and stare at them dead in the eye and not respond? Of course not. Mm-hmm. But yet we do it on Instagram every day. We want you to comment, but we don't give a shit about you enough to comment back. And I wonder why you won't buy my products, right? Or even better, can you imagine if Apple only allowed you in the store if you pre-committed to purchase?
Mm-hmm.
97, one of my friends is a general manager at Apple here, 97% of the traffic that comes into their store every day doesn't buy on that trip into the store. But it is a touch point in their journey to become a zealot. And that experience has to happen, but yet turn around. I'm going to give you my three secrets, quote unquote. But first, you have to give me your firstborn, your mother's maiden name, your social security number, and sign a lifetime contract like we're in freaking Scientology, right? Like, no. So you have to think about these things when you're thinking about marketing and business and what you do. And so I say this because the game here is not about width. It's about depth. It's not about intensity. It's about consistency, right? Like those are the things that matter when it comes to all of these relationships. And these start with ourselves, right? Like how are we treating ourselves? Are we keeping our word to ourselves? Is what we're sharing congruent? Are we filling our bucket? Are we draining it from an entrepreneurial perspective? Once that bucket's full, then we have to go to our team, the people around us, our support system. Are they full? Are they heard? Are they seen? Are they respected? And then at the combination of those two, let's use a Captain Planet reference. When those two powers come together, then you create Captain Planet to go out into the world to have congruent marketing and messaging with your customers, potential customers, your colleagues, right? Like, So I think it's a really, really important distinction. And if I have to say anything to wrap it up, it's why trademarked relationships beats algorithms. There's only one way to do business. Like at the end of the day, no matter what you do, you can be B2C, you can be B2B, you can be a service-based professional, sell a product, do whatever. But I guarantee you that every single dollar that hits your bank account or leaves your bank account is directly correlated to a relationship.
Mm-hmm. So good. So good. You know, we have at the I Love Recruiting Company, we have an equation in the recruiting space that relationships plus validity over time equals self-discovery. Right? It's exactly the same thing. Okay, let's do this. Let's pause all that because that's phenomenal. Take us back to, because I know you've built some big companies and I know that you've had some massive success. Tell our listeners real quick, in your CNN version, in your abbreviated version, who's George Bryant and share with us your massive success, man.
Yeah, man, I love that question. If Larry King was asking me who's George Bryant, I'd start with the fact that today I'm currently a husband, a father, and madly in love with myself and no longer attached to any of the results that I've ever created, but it's cool to have that rap sheet. And so it took most of those results to realize that underneath all of them, I was still unhappy and I was measuring the wrong success for the wrong reasons. And so I say that because I think it's commonplace to live with achievements and live in this world. So I started, you know, I came from nothing, physical abuse, sexual abuse, drug abuse, broken home, emancipated myself, was homeless and did the smartest thing I could do, forged my parents' signature and joined the Marine Corps because that was smart, right? 12 years of combat, you know, awesome. But it was great. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. and got injured a few times. Luckily, the Marine Corps said, hey, you're unfit for service. You're kind of broken, which became the catalyst for my success. They separated me after 12 years. And in that process, I wanted to heal my bulimia. I wanted to take care of myself. So I taught myself how to cook and started a food blog. Well, that food blog led to becoming a 22-week New York Times bestseller, launching a number one app in the world, 2015, featured by Apple, about 1.5 to 2 million social media followers organically, 5 million website visits a month. And then everybody started to realize that I had a skill set and I hated cooking in the first place. So as Ryan Moran dubbed me the Oz behind the curtain, I went dark and disappeared off the internet for a couple of years and took everything I'd self-taught over 8 years and started applying it to companies that some of you may know. That was a really ego play and toss right there. Men's Health, Titleist, TaylorMade, Vital Proteins, On It, and a lot of individuals and things out there. And really what it was is, as I learned the hard way, I didn't have capital. I didn't have a teacher. I didn't have an education. I didn't read books. I had a need to survive and a will to figure it out. And so I feel like I'm gifted in the fact that I got to do all this myself and learn it all. And I learned what not to do. And I mean, I lost lots of money as well, but in the turn, I also learned what to do. And so, yeah, I've helped over 500 companies hit 7, 8, 9, or 10. So I've built and been a part of the strategy to take two companies from less than 50 million to over a billion. And so I'm pretty proud of that stuff, pretty stoked. And it's interesting though, because you know, you asked that question. And if you asked me that question, I don't know, a year ago, I would have read in the rap sheet, like, I'm this and I'm that. And like, no, at the end of the day, I'm a loving, passionate, trusting man who all I care about is my family, my friends, and the people in my life. And I love that I've created those results, because on the other side of those, I've probably positively impacted close to a billion people. And it's something I'm proud of to rest my head on a pillow and say, hey, I know that when they're marketing, I know that when they're building businesses, I know that when they're touching customers, that the people on the receiving end are actually better off for it, and it improved upon the silence. And so that's kind of how it got me to this point today.
Man, that's great. I'll tell you, when I was listening to you in the revenue show, that was one of the things that led me to want to say, you know what, I want to learn more about this, guys, because you could tell that you were just a real bro. You know, you were someone that had a tough upbringing to where you were, to where you are, to where you're going. I was like, man, this guy's been there, done that, and he's going to continue to grow. So that's really neat. So now let's do this. Let's transition back into the marketing space. We've got our listeners, our entrepreneurs, they're solopreneurs, they're real estate agents or real estate brokers, they're recruiters in the real estate space, or maybe even in the multi-level marketing direct sales space. Let's go into the marketing world. Mm-hmm. If I'm starting, whether I'm starting a business or maybe I've got a business that has some legacy to it, where would you take me first? Right, I'm your client, and I want to build a brand. I want to build my reputation even more. What are we doing?
Yeah, so that's an amazing question. So the first thing that I want to say, and this is a really easy rule of thumb for everybody to remember, if your marketing seems complicated, don't do it. Marketing at the end of the day is just a two-way value-based long-term relationship, right? Marketing is communication, and complication does not work. And so, you know, no matter where you are, I use an analogy for this one all the time, right? You open your phone right now, open Waze, Apple Maps, and Google, right? A lot of people put in the destination, right? That is where I want to go. But what we don't realize is that you can't get there unless you know where you are. And right. So the first place to start is your current state, right? You got to do audits. You got to look in the mirror. And looking in the mirror has to be agnostic of fault, blame, guilt, or shame, right? Like, it's information, it's facts, and it's a gift. It's a tool. It's not like, oh, I should be doing this or I should have done it differently, right? So you got to realize you're playing a game that has no finish line, no championship, and no end in sight. Like, this is the infinite game. And so first thing is you have to do an audit of where you are in your business. Hey, this is where I am. This is what got me here. This is where I want to go, right? You kind of just throw all the cards on the table, and I'm telling you to collect all the ingredients required to make a recipe, right? Nothing like getting in the middle of dinner and realizing you don't have the main ingredient, right? You're screwed. Dinner's not going to taste good. And right. So you got to do a current state audit of where you want to go. And so that's what it is. Like, hey, you know, I've been doing this for 5 years. I have some legacy to my brand, but you know, we're really not on social media yet. And let's ask why. Like, what got us here? What worked? What didn't work? Right? And then you start looking at that. What worked, you keep. What didn't work, you let go. What am I going to do differently? Now you start feeling, okay, where do I want to go? So you get your current state first, and then you sit down and you get your future state, right? Where do you want to go? With clarity and simplicity, not like, I want to have 77 million followers across 14 different platforms for no reason as I piss my money down the toilet and make none in return. No, it's like, where do you want to go? Like, just like the business, whether you're starting a business, whether you're already running a business, like the first time you ever accomplished a fitness goal in your life or a personal achievement, right? Like, what was the first step that you did? What was that consistency? So current state is exactly where you need to be, because you have to identify where all the holes in the bucket are or potential leaks in the bucket are that you have to plug. And so you get your current state, then you get your future state. And your future state is where you want to go. And you can call these goals, you can call them wherever, right? But you have to know where you want to go in order to get there, because you have to work backwards. And so once you identify your future state, then you get to start looking at yourself, right? And you're either a solopreneur or you have a team, right? But what you don't have is an unlimited capacity. You have a limited amount of time, needle movers in your business that are actually going to help you get there. So now what you look at is you look at the gap and you're like, I have to build a bridge over this. Mm. And the choice here is like, how am I going to build that bridge? Well, if you tell me you work 18 hours a day, I'm going to tell you that you're probably wasting 8 of them, but you can't add anything to your plate. And so you have to take all of this information that you got, and now you have to look at it. Okay, which one of these is going to positively impact the business? Which one's going to move it forward? Which one do we need to have? And you get into a situation where it's like, okay, we need to have that. I don't have that skill set. I don't have that capacity. So you're left with one choice. Find somebody that does. Well, now you get into building a team or hiring it, right? And so what you want to think about is, what is the first way to start building that bridge without taking away from anything that's currently working? And I say this because this is really, really easy to do. Our Instagram's working, we're getting leads, our email's working, but you know what? That new platform came out. I want to go on TikTok and be on Facebook. And before you know it, you shift your focus and you stop looking at the things that were working. And now you end up with 4 things that don't work instead of having the one that did work and then working on the other 3. And so it all starts with integrity, Adam. The way that I think about it is, at the end of the day, in order for anything to be effective, it has to be measurable and scalable, right? That includes your time. And we are masters as entrepreneurs as lying to ourselves. It only took me 7 minutes, right? 4.5 hours later, when we're like, what did I get done today? And like, oh no. And then we'll do it again and again and again, right? Mm-hmm. So I tell people to try to look at yourself like you're not in the business, right? Like, look at it objectively. Like, name yourself something different. Like, call it John, call it Karen, call it Boomer. I don't care. Good or bad, whatever you want to do. But what you need is as much information as possible. And so I think the most important thing that I could tell everybody about this is that building a brand or expanding your company or scaling your company has nothing to do with the tools that you use. A carpenter can build a house with any type of screwdriver. It can be a manual one, it can be a hand cranked one, it can be a battery operated one, or an air compressor one, because it's not the tool that builds the house. It's the blueprints and the knowledge plus the expertise of the person building it. Like, I could probably throw a carpenter into my backyard with some wood and he'd probably make a hammer and nails out of wood if he really needed to. Mm-hmm. And so the part that is dangerous about this is when you get into this point, you're like, okay, hey, George, great. This is where I am. This is where I want to go. Instagram's going to get me there. Facebook's going to get me there. Email's going to get me there. Paid media is going to get me there. I'm like, no, they're not. You're going to get you there. You might utilize one of those tools, but you need to know where you are to make sure that you're using the right tool for the right job as effectively as possible. And so I think for me, Adam, and I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs about this, it's really easy to go into like, yeah, I can look at your business and be like, yeah, if you do this with email, but I would never do that. I'm like, email will get you there, but we have to fix the foundation so that it serves a purpose. And I think one piece of advice that I would give every entrepreneur, no matter what, is that we don't spend enough time pulling our own ripcord enough. We stay in the weeds. We stay in the mud. We stay in reactivity. And so Keith Cunningham calls this thinking time in his book, The Road Less Stupid, which is an amazing book for any business owner whatsoever. But what you need is thinking time. You need to spend less time reacting and more time planning. You need to spend less time doing and more time being. And what you need to make sure is that when you shoot that shot, that you knew where it was going, what the target was, and what lied on the other side, not, oh, you know, shoot now, aim later, you know, all that fun stuff. Like, that doesn't work. And listen, you're like, oh yeah, okay, fine. Cool. Well, anybody who gives you that advice take it under the one condition that when it doesn't work, they'll pay your bills. Mm-hmm. And until that gets agreed upon, I wouldn't take it at all. And so identify where you are, identify where you want to go, look at the gap between them and pull your ripcord a little bit to look at it from a high level and start to intentionally design the plan to get there, knowing what's going to go into practice. And then you pick the tool to execute that plan towards where you want to go in alignment. That's the best way I can answer that question.
Man, that was good. Gang, for y'all listening, rewind that or push the 15-second back button and listen to that again, because that was damn good.
This episode of the I Love Recruiting podcast is being brought to you by Recruiting Bridge. Recruiting Bridge has been the trusted global recruiting platform inside of Keller Williams for the last 6 years. Are you an agent looking to grow your profit share or a team leader looking to grow your market center? Recruiting Bridge is the answer. Over the last 6 years, Recruiting Bridge has helped Keller Williams Realty grow by nearly 100,000 agents. Go to recruitingbridge.com and start your 60-day free trial today. Recruitingbridge.com.
So let's go into this. I coach a ton of people in the real estate space. I coach a ton of recruiters. What would you say to someone that might have a little fear of pulling that ripcord to go look at it from a high level because they are stuck in the weeds, right? They are in the business versus on the business. Yeah. And when it comes to building the business from a digital marketing perspective, that just scares the shit out of them to pull that ripcord.
Totally. Well, here's the thing. The first part is being honest with yourself. The first part is being honest with yourself, right? Don't pull the ripcord if you're not interested in growing. Like, just get honest with yourself, right? And I say this because there are parts in my life and my business where I don't currently have the capacity to build the ripcord. Like, on paper, I'm as successful as can be, right? But there's only so many things I can focus on every day. The difference, Adam, and the distinction that makes people successful is when you acknowledge that you don't want to pull the ripcord, not that I can't pull the ripcord, or there's no way for me to pull the ripcord, or the ripcord doesn't exist, right? There are no excuses. So the first thing is just acknowledging where you are.
Right.
That is what gets you in a position of power, right? Then the second part is, well, okay, I acknowledge I need to pull the ripcord. And I actually do want to pull it, but I'm afraid. Well, as soon as you acknowledge that, then you have to look at the cost of what's happening by not pulling the ripcord. And that's a really, really big one. A lot of us as entrepreneurs, we are really, really good at convincing ourselves that everything is okay, right?
Right.
We won't know our numbers, but we'll be like, oh no, I have 7 pending deals, 3 will come in so I can float this now. And we do it all in our head, right? Unless you're super analytical. And a lot of us are scared of facts, myself included, right? Because that is the biggest pattern interrupt, kind of slap in the face, but it's a tool to come in, right? So I'm afraid to look at things certain times. I'm afraid to see how things go, but it starts with, hey, I'm afraid to look at this. Oh, that's really interesting, and exploring it and then taking a peek at it, right? But the truth is that nobody's going to save you. Nobody's coming in. There's not like, oh, if I keep grinding every single day, somebody else is going to fix it. Somebody else is going to give me clarity. Somebody else is going to give me the answer. No. The teacher or the clarity appears when you are ready for it, not when you are pretending it doesn't exist. And so you have to take a look at it, or you have to own the fact that you don't want to. For example, I hate finances. I am not analytical. I don't like numbers. I don't even have access to my bank accounts. I don't see anything. My accountant, my team, and my wife know more about my business financially than I do. But when they come to me and they're like, hey, you know, you need to look at the finances. I'm like, I don't want to look at those things. Get away from me. I don't care. Make a decision. I want nothing to do with it because it scares the crap out of me. And they're like, okay. Right. And then they go handle it, right? But there used to be times where I'd be like, no, guys, we'll look later. We'll look later. No, I got it. I looked at it and I'd never look. And it literally was costing me $40,000, $60,000, $80,000 a month because I was more afraid to be honest than I was to be myself. Mm-hmm. And so when you sit here and have that fear, it's amazing that you have that fear because that means one of two things. One is you have a massive breakthrough sitting right in front of you the moment you decide to take it. Or two, you have massive amounts of clarity that you've already experienced a breakthrough, and that is not your skill set or an area that you need to be spending your time. But then that also means that you have to own the fact that you're going to be a better executor and visionary than you ever are a CEO. And you need to advocate that responsibility to somebody else. You need to hire that, outsource it, or give somebody else that responsibility and stop pretending to own it yourself in order to get the best results.
Dude, that was strong right there. So embrace that fear. Because on the other side of that fear is a breakthrough or is a delegation, right?
Every time. Like the thing is like when we sit here and we drive our car, if your check engine light comes on and says, if you don't add oil, it's going to explode, we don't ignore it. We heed its advice and we pay attention. Well, the fact that you're afraid is your body's check engine light. It doesn't mean that you have to fix it every day, but you have to look at the error code to figure out if it's going to seize your engine and blow up on you, or if it's something that can continue to happen and you systematically solve it slowly. But our bodies, our intuition, our wisdom, we know. Because there's other moments too where you're sitting there and you know in that moment, the inverse of the fear, you're like, God, I know I've been thinking about this. I haven't wanted to do it. But right now, now's the time I'm doing it. And you feel that too. And you lean into it. But right. I think what's horrible is, and especially in the entrepreneur and the, quite frankly, the bullshit that people perpetuate as entrepreneurship of like, oh, your stupid jet you rented in your books and it's supposed to be easy. No, it's hard. We work hard. We live in a world of ambiguity and uncertainty. We don't collect a paycheck. We don't get a 9-to-5. We have to get our own benefits. We have no predictability. There are moments that is scary as shit, and it's supposed to be, which is why we love it. That's why we do what we do. We wouldn't want it any other way, but you have to own the fact that that's what it is, and you got to trust yourself that it's a process. And you got to set yourself up in the win by mitigating these things and checking in and being here with all of these different parts of it. Because, you know, for me, I think the biggest reason I struggled for so long, I probably struggled in entrepreneurship for 7 years. Like on paper, I was successful, right? Like I owned like 4 multi-million dollar companies. I was netting everything that I ever wanted to net. I had the house of my dreams, the car of my dreams, but yet I would wake up with more anxiety every single day. As I got further and further down to the point where I still wouldn't acknowledge it. So then I did the entrepreneurial pattern, right? I would then tear it away and lose all the money. So then I had to prove it again, get the energy to keep going and have some sort of external validation to keep going, right? Yeah. And all of it, and I mean all of it, was just due to unexpressed emotions or inauthentic relationships with myself. That's it. Like at the end of the day, you name me one successful entrepreneur and I will show you the same thing for every one of them. Self-integrity, discipline, intentionality, and zero reactivity across the board. It's the only way to be.
George, you know what I love about where we are right now in this podcast and this conversation is we are in the – gang, I want you to pause for a second. We're still in the marketing space. We're fixing you first. Yep. Right? George is helping fix you so that when you do pull that ripcord in, you can see your business. You're working on your business. You can build content that then – right? is for the family, that then you will engage because you will be showing up authentically. That's one of the biggest words there, right?
Yeah, well, and I think the thing that matters, right? Like when you think about it, if you're listening to this, if I recorded you for the next hour and just watched you scroll through social media, you can tell from a mile away what's authentic and real and what is inauthentic and unreal, right? And you can look at them and you can say, man, you know they want to be happy. You know they want to do this, but I can't trust the message. I can feel the undertow. It's not really there. It's not grounded. It's not confident, right? Everyone's like, oh, I want to be the influencer. And I was like, well, you have to realize that that requires that you do the work to influence yourself so that you can magnetize other people in. And that's the mistake that people make. When you are disconnected from yourself or when you are inauthentic or you're pretending that things aren't happening, you are low-level manipulating people and they can feel it. When you own your story, own your truth, know who you are and work on yourself and then create a piece of content or then create a piece of marketing material, you are magnetizing people and attracting them to you because they can feel that as well. And so nobody has a marketing problem. Everybody has a relationship problem with themselves, their team, and their customers informed in that order. And the truth is that we don't spend enough time talking about looking introspectively. Like everyone's like, oh, where do I fix my marketing? I'm like, look in the mirror. Like that's the first place to go. And like we look at these people that we idolize. And I'm lucky to be friends with some of these billionaires and people in my life that help me. But the one thing is we look at the results and then we look at the doingness that they do. We're like, oh, they have a morning routine. Oh, they get up at this time. And I'm like, yeah, but you're missing what they do in that time. It's not that they get up at 5 a.m. or that they have a morning routine. It's that what they do in that time is self-exploration, is depth, is silence, is thinking time, is alignment, is healing, right? And then once they're on the other side then they share that message. And the adage is true. And I had a coach tell me this a long time ago. They said, you can never write a book that you're still in the middle of. Mm. Well, you can never market a message that you're still figuring out unless you do it authentically and you say, hey, I'm in the middle of this with you. This is how I feel. And that is documentation versus creation. And so it's really, really simple. Success in marketing is easy. You have to be congruent, and then you have to be consistent. And you have to understand that you are helping somebody change their mind, change their belief system, change their patterns. And that could take anywhere from 1 to 150 touch points. Right? You have to deal with the distance away from that belief. You have to deal with the endowment. You have to deal with the reactance. And one marketing tip for everybody, when was the last time somebody came up to you and they're like, hey, your car's really ugly, you need a new one, or hey, you're fat, you need to lose 15 pounds, and you felt good? Never, because it creates reactance, right? But then when was the last time you heard somebody saying like, oh man, I've really let myself down lately, and I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and walk every day because I really need to lose that 10 pounds, and your brain went, oh man, I got to do that too. That's the difference between convincing and enrollment, right? And that's the way in which you have to play. And so in order to have a congruent and a consistent message, it means it's got to come from you. You have to speak from experience. You have to enroll people into the journey, not try to sell people, manipulate people, or convince people, because all you're doing is pushing them further away. And it all starts by knowing yourself.
Dude, you're blowing this out of the water.
I'm like, get a bowl of popcorn and stick a quarter in me, right? Like somebody stuck a Duracell battery at my ass this morning. I haven't had any caffeine. I'm ready to go.
Oh man, that makes the two of us. Well, you know, it's funny. For those that are watching right now, I was so excited about this recording this morning that my kids had tennis tournaments today. And I thought, yeah, I cannot not miss this recording. So I'm doing the recording from my car. While now George is pouring his coffee in his office.
It's decaf with collagen in it. Gotta get those atomic habits stacked up, right? If you're gonna drink the coffee, take care of your health. If you're gonna have it, add something that makes it better.
So let's go back to this real quick. Convincing versus enrolling. Speaking of enrolling, you have something that our listeners can go enroll in. When they've heard value from you, as I know they all have, I've taken a whole page of notes here myself. What can they do to go be a part of your world as share with everybody your program you have?
Yeah, for sure. So the easiest place, I'm just make this really, really easy. I'm a little bit crazy. I probably belong 5150 in a padded room, but they let me out because I can speak eloquently. So everything that happens in my world happens at mindofgeorge.com. I have a podcast, and I want you guys to understand something really quickly. I say this now, like I could sit on this podcast right now and I could spit strategies and tactics to you all day, but the truth is that they would be temporal in nature and never produce a permanent result because they need a stronger foundation. So today we get into the depth, the understanding, the awareness. And for those of you that are listening to this, you've actually already won. There's nothing to do. The game of life is won with awareness, because when you are aware, you get to choose. Some of you are going to hear this and never be able to market the same way, never be able to post the same way, never be able to do something the same way. That means you've already won. That base is what you need to then implement the strategies and tactics. So my podcast, The Mind of George Show, every episode, I literally give step-by-steps like do this. This is how to do process management. This is how to do marketing. This is how to do it. We all have it there. But probably my proudest moment in life is I created this method that I've used to scale all 500 of those companies. It's called the Lighthouse Method. It's a 9-step process that you can use to ethically build and scale your company. And my favorite part, Adam, is I actually saw a testimonial this morning and somebody was like, I can't believe I waited for this. I watched 3 videos and I 4X'd my business in 20 days. And I was like, okay, screenshot, can I get you on video? And we have hundreds of those. And here's the truth. The reason that happened is because they stopped going after the tactics and strategies and they fixed the holes in the bucket and everything starts to work. And so I focus on teaching principles. What I teach, what I share has come from 11 years of experience with, and just to quantify, I've spent $26 million in 1 month on just paid media. Like I have more volume. I've managed email lists of 16 million people. I was getting 11 to 14,000 emails a day. I've tested all of these things over and over again. And Strategies and tactics change daily. Foundational principles never change. And if you can take nothing more away from this episode than this, that everything you do needs to be a principle, foundation, stand the test of time, and evergreen, I guarantee your success in business. But if you leave this episode and you go to, I'm doing this on Instagram today, they said to do a live video, they said to get on TikTok, and you live reactively, I guarantee that path will put you out of business. And so I teach everything that you need to go from zero all the way up to 37 billion. If you look at my current customer base of like who I consult, that you can go straight through, you can go a la carte. We're talking avatar research, consistency, brand congruency, messaging, social media, email, copywriting, all in like 6 to 8 minute chunks that you can take, put into practice. And like anything, I have to set you up to win here. This podcast has nuggets in it. You might have 4 notes, you might have 6 notes, you might have 8 notes. I guarantee you that you can't put all 8 of them into practice at once. Mm. And that's what happens with most entrepreneurs. So what I want you to do is I want you to listen to this episode, and the one thing that resonated the most, the one thing that stood out the most, you have to stop everything else, and you can only do that one thing until it's in completion and running itself, and then you come to number two. Just like if you buy my course, or when you buy my course, or listen to my podcast, or listen to Adam, or listen to another episode, your job is to play the infinite game in business. And unless you plan on dying in 2 years, stop building a fucking 2-year business. Stop. Because you're not going to like the finish line when you hit it. Your job is to maintain the foundational things that get you to drive that car every single day. I'm on the road. I'm heading towards my destination. And then you're like, oh, my seat's uncomfortable. Let me make that better. Oh, the temperature's a little hot. Let me turn that down. And you make microscopic adjustments daily, piece by piece by piece, until you end up in the ultimate comfort zone. And then when you get to scale, you realize that that was your dream car and it's got every single thing that you need, but now you need another one. Or that was your dream house, but now you need something different. And you start the process over again. And so I don't care, quite frankly, if you ever come into my world. I do care that you always build yours and set it up to win. So take one thing away from this and put it into practice so that you cannot stay where you are and end up somewhere different. Because human beings think that we don't have to change because we settle for good lives, which is why we don't live great lives, right? That bias, that confirmation bias, like where I am is okay, where I am is okay. Well, if you're listening to this, it's not okay, or else you wouldn't be listening. Mm-hmm. There's a part of you that wants to go. So take something, put it into practice, make a shift, and go put it in. So everything I do, mindofgeorge.com, it's there. Go get 100 touch points, 180 touch points. Adam will tell you, shoot me a DM. I'll respond in probably like 0.37 milliseconds because I really care about this stuff. And I want everybody to win. I have a mission to help 1 billion humans. The end.
That's awesome. Yeah, we have a vision at I Love Recruiting to recruit 100 million people. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt that this podcast will definitely help us along that path, man, because this was great, great stuff. Okay, mindofgeorge.com. Go check him out there. Go listen to his podcast, Mind of George. And also go check out his Lighthouse Method. Go check him out and see what he has to offer there, because I guarantee you will have success by listening to Mr. George.
And at minimum, Adam, the one thing I would say is like, notice like, and by the way, guys, I don't give a fuck if you buy my course, really. But what I do care about is that you put these things into practice and you learn. Right. So if at minimum, subscribe for the podcast. We just dropped our 50th episode. The first 49 episodes are literally step-by-step solving businesses, process management, social media, marketing laws, everything. And they're short, they're to the point. And I guarantee you that you can apply in your business. So go subscribe, you know, jump in, let us know how we can support you. Adam's going to be on that one soon too. I got to get him over.
Now they're only 7 to 8 minutes long, aren't they?
Some of them. Yeah. So all the ones that are tactical, right? Mm-hmm. Strategical. I try to keep short. Like I want you to listen to them. I want you to take notes. I want you to put it into practice, like 7 to 15 minutes. All the ones that get into like the deeper meaning, right, to raise that awareness, get into like the 25 to 35 minutes. And then all my guests, Adam, one of the things that I'm doing, and you're going to have to do this too. I just haven't told you yet. one of the things I'm doing is every guest that comes on my show has to give away their best piece of advice or value that they charge for on the show. And so we're now starting to drop these episodes. So like my publisher came on and literally gave his step-by-step framework on how to write a book in the last episode that drops next week. And then my copywriter came on and gave away her entire training on copywriting and storytelling for free on the episode. And so really, really understand. And you know what? I think it's important. I'll rip the curtain back. Why am I doing this? Because this is the last marketing lesson I'll leave you in this podcast with. I think the biggest detriment to most marketers' success is the fact that they try to win before their customers win. They make themselves the heroes before their customers are the heroes. And the truth is it requires way too big of a commitment to affect change because the stakes are too high and the confirmation bias is better where they are. And so my mission is not to get you to buy a course, is not to that. It's to get you to double your business, increase your revenue, help another customer, so then we can do business together. We can become partners, affect change more. And so in your business, look at where all of your competitors are going for the one-night stand, and you get to go for the long-term relationship. Shift the lens of adding value on the front so everybody gets to win, and then their level of endowment can't get them back out. And so add value, build relationships, go deep. And as Donald Miller says in the Story Brand, if you are the hero in your business, you will go out of business. Your job is to make your customer the hero.
Love it. Good stuff, man. Everybody, give a virtual round of applause for Mr. George Bryant. He crushed this podcast. Way to go. So go find him, Mind of George. Go listen to his podcast. Go check him all out at mindofgeorge.com. And my name is Adam Roach. I have been your host, and this has been the I Love Recruiting Podcast. Take care, everybody.